Sunday Meditation, April 2nd, 2000. The question this week has to do with the concept of protection.
I just found it. I wonder where the mic was up there.
And we're thinking about two types of protection. The type of protection that you would invoke from supposedly outside of yourself. If you felt there was a special need for angelic protection, protection from Jesus, from asking a saint for protection, whatever guide or inner energy you felt was helpful. We'd like Quo to speak to that type of protection and also perhaps relate it to the kind of protection that comes from one's way of living, from focusing upon the being, upon service to others. Ra said producing fruit was a protected activity. Would this have anything to do with refusing to be afraid of that from which you might need protection, and making this choice of having an attitude of gratitude, I guess, being grateful for everything that is and seeing the unity of all things. Anyway, we would like any information Quo could give us concerning the topic of protection, both that from outside of ourselves and that from within ourselves, the way we live our lives and make our choices.
We are those known to you as the principle of Akul. We greet each of you in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator in whose service we are. We cannot express to you our delight and our pleasure at being able to join this meeting this afternoon. It is always a signal event when we are able to meet with this group. And we would like to thank each for calling us to you by your desire for the truth. In that regard, we would like to share with you that it is our perception that we are not entities of authority over you in any way, nor do we have what is for you necessarily the truth. We have opinions and thoughts which have come out of our experience, and we are most happy to share these with you, for this is the nature of our service to the Creator at this time, the communication with those who seek information of this kind in this way. However, we ask that each thing that we say be brought before each entity's discrimination. For you and only you will be able to feel the resonance of your truth when you hear it and when it comes into your heart. If there is not this solid feeling of resonance in our thoughts, then we ask that you leave them behind. For what we are doing is not so much informing, but rather sharing. For we are, as you, students of the way. That way that calls all of us towards the mystery and the fullness of the one infinite Creator. You ask this day concerning protection, and because of the music which you played to begin to tune the session, we would choose to begin with a discussion of the protection that can come from what the questioner called outer sources. the practice of calling for aid from a strong helper is as ancient as the belief that there are strong helpers. You must see your density as one in which you will inevitably, again and again throughout your life, be in a position of wishing to call for help from others. For the entire purpose of third density is socialization. The learning to give and to receive love, and to give and to receive lovingly that encouragement and support that is needed. This instrument, for instance, in her tuning process, habitually calls upon the archangels, and all of the discarnate and angelic spirits that are within the inner planes of your planet. This instrument asks them to come and be a part of the session of working, helping to protect the instrument, the source of the contact itself, each person in the circle of seeking, the circle as an entity, and the physical space in which the meeting is taking place, the room, the house, and the surroundings. Each time that this instrument tunes itself for contact, it goes through these preparatory protections. Further, it works with the energy centers of its body and wraps itself first in the protection of the body by the body, and then the protection of the infinite white light of the One Creator. May we say in this regard then that it is efficacious to call upon those entities, energies, and essences to which an entity relates as ideas or ideals that are esteemed and admired. Calling for help sets up a dynamic within the inner planes, as does any prayer. Indeed, we may include in this category specific worries which come repeatedly to the mind and begin to take over the mind. If these worries can be reformed into a more prayerful rendition so that help is asked, this is an efficacious thing to do. However, you may note here that in this way of asking for protection, danger is seen as out there, and the protection against the danger is also seen as out there, that is, beyond the confines of the physical body and its thoughts and feelings and spiritual nature. Consequently, there is a natural limit to this kind of request for help. The efficaciousness of these prayers and requests for protection depend in part upon the attitude of the one praying towards the entities who are asked for help. If an entity is not actually one who believes or has faith in that such calls for help will have an effect, then it weakens the prayer greatly. The faculty of faith, then, is signally important in asking for help from outer sources as well as in general. To look at the attitude of the spiritually awakened entity who refuses outside help, we would like to look at some of the actions of the teacher known to you as Jesus. For this entity was extraordinarily aware of the issues involved in asking for protection. This is a time within what this instrument would call the church year, when the one known as Jesus spent over a month in the desert. The story goes that this entity was fasting and being tempted. One of the temptations that this entity, Jesus, faced was the temptation to ask for outer help from angels. "Go ahead," suggested a negatively oriented entity. "Throw yourself off of a high rock. Show me that the angels will catch you and not allow you to harm as much as your foot." Jesus remained on the rock. "You are hungry," came the voice. "Make some bread out of that stone." Jesus ate locusts and starved. This entity grasped the fact that he had no need of protection because he had nothing to fear. As the one known as Tom so accurately pointed out in an earlier discussion, an entity which has come to be fearless has come into a kind of balance that is beyond the forces of life and death. This may make such an entity seem weak-minded or missing the point. Someone new to the story of Jesus the Christ would at this point wonder what the point was of refusing any help when clearly there was no food, no shelter, and no comfort. And yet, to the one known as Jesus, all that was necessary was the knowledge that he and the Father and we're one. He and the Father could be one in a desert with nothing to eat. He and the Father could be one in death. When that illusion would vanish, and he would once again, in spirit and in truth, be one with the Father. He could be one with the Father in any human situation whatsoever. And this was the value that this entity held above all others. Seeing the primal nature of this utter belief in the unity of all things under the one infinite Creator. There is a great key in this understanding. As long as an entity may tabernacle with the Most High, with El Shaddai, with the Light, the Creator, the one original thought or logos that is the Creator, all else has a habit of falling into place. This falling into place may include limitation, difficulty, illness, and death. We do not say that fearlessness or faith will protect one from the natural processes of catalyst, declining health, or the natural end to an incarnation. However, let us continue to look at the attitude of the one known to you as Jesus the Christ. For if there was ever an entity which declined protection, this was the entity. In its final days, knowing that this was its final few days upon the earth. One night after dinner, this teacher lovingly asked for its students to accompany him to a place where they could pray. For the one known as Jesus was fully aware that the time was almost gone. And oh, how this entity dreaded what was to come, as would any human in the bloom of life, young and strong and vigorous. It did not wish to lay itself upon an altar as had Abraham done his son. He had no wish to immolate himself in some sacrificial fire. He wished to teach and to share and to love those who had been given to him. But the will of the Creator was pressing upon this entity's awareness. And he could not ignore the call that he felt was true. One last time he said in prayer, "Oh Father, please, if it is at all possible, let this not happen. Let me not have to do this." The answer was no. Three different times he looked around to see if anyone was still praying with him, and three times he found that all of the students were asleep, and that he must meet this moment alone, vulnerable, completely undefended and unprotected. When that moment came, when their little retreat was filled with soldiers suddenly, the students sprang to defend him, but he shook his head. "No," he said, "put away your swords. My kingdom is not of this world. No fighting, please." He gave himself up to the authorities immediately, and he walked willingly and sacrificially into his destiny. There must have been 1,000 times in the next 24 hours before his death when he was tempted to say something in his own defense, to call upon powerful friends or his Heavenly Father or some kind of angelic fix. But he never prayed, "Get me out of here." He was too busy watching for one more opportunity to love. When he was upon the cross, at last, in the worst of his misery, he kept finding little ways to show love. He saw his mother and suggested that one of the disciples take care of her and that she take care of him. He prayed for those who were murdering him, asking that his Father forgive them. No excuses, no anger, just one more way to extend love. And when one of the two who were crucified with him mocked him, and the other rebuked the first thief and said to Jesus, "Sorry about that. As for myself, do you suppose if you make it, you could bring me along?" Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Anyone who hears this story knows two things for sure. Jesus the Christ loved, and that thief was in paradise that day. Now, how to bring such intense and pure love into your life? How to ask that love to remove all fear? We do not know. For with each entity, the gifts of your incarnation, the circumstances of your incarnation, and the lessons that you came to learn will greatly shape the rhythm of your life. And those lessons that cycle through again and again for you may not seem to be at all the same as the lesson that is cycling for the next person, for your mate or for your sister or for your good friend. Indeed, each of us, no matter what our density, if we are in incarnation, does have an agenda that we designed for ourselves before we entered incarnation. This agenda involves relationships which need to be balanced and issues about which we have not yet learned enough to make skillful choices. Now, both of these relationships and these issues will revolve around some aspect of the giving and the receiving of love to each other. As we said, your third density is a social density. You are here to learn to love, to give it, and to receive it. You would be surprised how often it is that it is not the giving of love that is so difficult for people. It is the receiving of love. It is the surrender to love that is so hard, so very, very hard. And we know this because we have been through much more experience, but we still have that slight skin of separation between us and the goal that we see before us. We do not yet see that all things are one and that all expressions are one. And that even the most fearsome and negative expression is a distortion of love. And yet we find that if we can move into that awareness that sees all entities and souls and all behavior as distortions of love, no matter how we feel about the actions involved, we can continue to open our hearts and allow the love of the infinite creator to flow through us and out into loving that distorted entity that is attempting to act negatively toward us. No matter how opaque the negative action may seem from the human standpoint, the rising to a level where all are seen as soul places the mind in a position which gives it the capacity to grasp that all is truly one, that all is truly well, and that all will truly be well. Is this wellness congruent or synonymous with well in the worldly sense? By all means, no. That which is well in the spiritual sense may involve limitation, difficulty, disease, or death. For these are processes that are part of life, just as much as being born, being young, learning new things, and so forth. The energies of living and of dying are companions within the density and its blood and bone aspect. This is a physical density. It is not an eternal one. that portion of yourself that is within incarnation and that will not continue after incarnation has every right to be afraid of death. Again, it is a matter of a leap of faith with no proof whatsoever to come to the understanding or the acceptance of what this instrument will call faith. And there is in that faith a surrender or a leap involved. And in this leap of faith, there is the leaping into what is specifically and absolutely unknown. There is no cheating here. No one can know while jumping into midair that the parachute is going to open. And that is what faith is like. Because faith is that which looks at a situation in which protection is desperately needed, apparently, judges the situation, seeing no human avenue for help, and simply says, all is well, and all will be well. Where does this faith come from? We assure you, it is a powerful protection. It is the most powerful protection which you can invoke. It involves you as a human and spiritual entity digging in your feet, metaphysically speaking, and saying, here I am, listen to me, I am real. I am not what I was born, and I am not going to go away when I die to this reality. I am a citizen of eternity. I follow a higher law. I follow a higher way, a higher truth, a higher life. It is this identification with an idea or ideal for which you would die and for which you are living that brings you to the courage to jump into midair and say, I am doing this by faith, blind faith, and I will live by faith. Blind faith. Not words, not deeds, not reasoning, not wisdom, not logic, not what seems to be efficient or suggested. I will live by faith. This entity, this instrument speaking, once was at the crossroads of life and death. And because the ailments involved were physical, this instrument was fully aware of the tenuousness of her hold on physical life. In that situation, this instrument's reaction was to put up two quotes. One was from her beloved Saint Paul. It was a long passage about being bloody but unbowed, in difficulty and yet lifted up. And it spoke to those pains and agonies which the instrument was going through. The other one was simply a rewriting of part of the opening monologue of the original version of the television program Star Trek. This entity laboriously wrote out faith, the final frontier. and placed it where she could see it every minute of every day. For she knew that it was faith, and only faith, that would keep her alive. Faith that all was well, and that all would be well. And as this instrument went through one emergency situation after another, and then through one difficult rehabilitation after another, she kept this motto with her as the watchword: faith, the final frontier. And truly, this motto was able to open every door, to quell every fear, to quiet every anxiety. But only because the instrument moved into a state of mind in which nothing actually mattered except remembering that watchword. For a time, it is very possible that this instrument was difficult to live with, for it was so keenly focused on the best protection it knew. And it is possible that when you sense a crux of destiny and do what you need to do within your own mind and heart and soul in order to hew to faith, you may lose a friend or find that a family member does not understand you, or that other entities feel that you are not exercising proper caution or care. And yet, this attitude of faith is, to our knowledge, the key to the highest protection of life, of work, and of fruit that we know is effective within or without incarnation. This is a value and an asset that is powerful within third density, particularly because it cannot be proven. There is no way that you can sit down with someone and justify faith. There is no way you can prove faith. You cannot argue someone into having faith. There is no reason or rhyme to faith. And yet it is our understanding that this is how the creation works. To those who have faith and move forward in that faith, the universe opens and the entity moves with increasingly unfettered foot through all the densities of love and light and unity. Now, how can you attempt to build your own faith? We would suggest three things to you. Firstly, we would suggest focusing upon love. This instrument is fond of saying, there is love in this moment. Where is it? This instrument is incorrectly quoting those of Ra, but the idea is important. In all relationships, there is a more loving path and we encourage each to spend the time and the thought of 4 times, if possible, to see the way clear, to cooperating with this path of love. This is not necessarily an easy choice, for the entities that one deals with are not designed to be pleasant or helpful necessarily in the usual sense, but rather may well have been chosen specifically because of their irritating and aggravating value. For it is in the friction and the heat of tempering and refining fire that the personality which you wish to improve will have the opportunity to improve. For that tempering and that friction begins to smooth away some of those aspects of personality that may not be so helpful in a spiritual sense. And they will not leave simply because you'd rather they not be there. They will leave when they fall away because they are no longer called upon. And the habit of not calling upon them will come because there will come a time of testing, and you will have learned enough to make a more skillful choice and to cooperate with the love in the moment rather than the defense of the self. The second aid to increasing the ability to choose faith is meditation. You will note that we do not ever lose an opportunity to encourage seekers to prayer, meditation, praise, and thanksgiving. These powerful techniques of tuning the mind and the heart have a cumulative effect. The first time you choose to go into the silence or to have a conversation with the infinite creator that is honest and deep and probing, it may not seem to have amounted to much, but if you persist in moving into that silence again and again, that silence will expand and lighten and become the holy of holies in which you are sitting with the Creator. Indeed, the Creator sits already in your heart of hearts and waits for you to come and join Him. The third aspect that will increase faith is the right use of the will. Indeed, faith and will go hand in hand. And we encourage each of you to gain an ever-increasing respect for your will. For it is your will that decides what you will desire, how you will desire it, and how strongly you will pursue it. We encourage each of you to hone and purify your desire, always asking yourself, who am I? And what is my desire? What is my deepest self? And what is my deepest desire? For the more you know about yourself, the more you will be able to come into acceptance and forgiveness of yourself, and the less that those of negative orientations can do to unbalance you and topple you from this balanced view in which you are attempting. The will can run away with the self and lead the self into most unwise areas of thought and interest. And that is why we emphasize the right use of will. Before you apply your will, before you decide to will that which you desire, we encourage each to look carefully at your desire, to see if that desire is consonant with the laws of love that demand that all entities have free will and that the self never infringe upon that free will. Be very sure that you are following love and that your desire truly is a loving desire before you set your will behind it. For that which you will to desire, you will receive. And each desire, when fulfilled, will have side effects which contain the possibility of adhering karma. Consequently, be very clear when you set your will and gaze carefully at what occurs thereafter with an eye to maintaining a loving and giving and cooperative attitude concerning the outworkings of that fulfilled desire. This is a good beginning, we think, upon the topic of protection, and so this instrument is encouraging us to wrap it up for this day. We are glad then at this time to transfer this contact to the one known as Jim, that if there are any further questions, we may respond to them before the end of this session. We thank this instrument and leave it in love and in light. We are of those known to you as Akua.
I am Kwong, and am with this instrument. We greet each once again in the love and the light of the Infinite Creator. May we ask if there are any further queries to which we may speak at this time.
I have a question. This week, my wife has been feeling depressed and not knowing where oldest daughter is, and if she's okay, and does she need our help, and how she's doing. But she's chosen not to be in contact with us, and the mother's worry is really taking its toll. Can you provide any information that I may pass back to her?
I am Kwok, and am aware of your the cleric, my brother. The young entity of which you speak is one which feels the need to express its own individuality in a manner which not only carries the nature of its unique identity, but somewhat of an emotional charge as well. For as this entity was encouraged to partake in the pursuance of its own individuality, it was, shall we say, set upon this journey in a manner which it was in some disagreement with, and now seeks to express its own anger and self in the refusal to communicate with you and the one known as Asini. We cannot speak in any specific sense, for we are not privy to the details, shall we say, of this entity's experience, but can give the report that it is well and is pursuing its own journey in its own way. Is there another clue, my brother?
I've been reading recently on some interesting magnetic devices. And one of the things that interests me and is curious, they mentioned their source naming itself as a universal mind. And in thinking on that, again, can you expand on a reference to a universal mind?
I'm quite and aware of your query, my brother. Each entity which has individuality and seemingly its own separate mind, if it moved deeper into the roots of its own mind, would pass through those greater and greater accumulations of mind, such as the racial mind, the planetary mind, the archetypical mind of the Logos, and eventually into that area of the intelligent infinity which you may call the universal or the cosmic mind of the one creator. Thus, each entity, if it is able to move in a conscious fashion past the veil of forgetting which separates your conscious and subconscious mind, would eventually come to this source of all minds. Is there any further clear matter?
I have conversed with them a couple times, and my recent email messages have not been responded to. Should I be patient in that respect?
I am quote, and we suggest patience is always a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another query at this time?
No, thank you.
I am quote, and we thank you, my friend. Is there another query at this time?
Follow up on Steve's. Would it be helpful if I showed him the material on the Gateway to Intelligent Infinity, which has to do with opening into the deeper aspect? If so, I will do so.
I am quote. We find that this is completely at your discretion, my sister.
Thank you.
And we thank you once again. Is there another query at this time?
for me. I don't thank you.
I am poor, and we are most grateful to each as well for inviting our presence this day. It is always a joy for us to walk with you in your meditative sessions. And we look forward to each such gathering. At this time, we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group, leaving each, as always, in love and in delight, everyone influenced with it. We are known to you as those of Quoth by the name.